Welcome to Brand Appeal, where we talk about brand storytelling in the digital age. I'm your host, Shannon Peel, and today I talked with Rich Kozak about branding and how to define the brand and utilize the language to get your message to hit home. This was one of those conversations that started out one way and went down another, meandered another way, but we always were talking about branding, marketing, and how you can tell your story to the marketplace. So if you want to learn from someone who has years, decades of experience as a brand strategist and marketing expert, this is the episode for you. So keep listening.
Do you mind if I just give you like 30 seconds on why I told you I love you? The first 5-10 minutes to that secrets thing. First of all, I'm working with a client right now, and we just named her book, The Secret You Hide Holds You Back. I was literally working on that creative brief this morning on objection to this. My head is into that whole secrets thing. We're looking at the guy from Columbia who does all the research on secret. It's like, I'm up to my eyeballs in secrets. And then the points you made, like, so what is the secret to success? It's boring stuff. It's this and that and this and that. It's, you know, boring stuff like your integrity, like your character. And then it's like, we all have a brand. Problem is, the world tries to slap it on us instead of coming from the inside. And so I'll show you what it looks like when a brand has been defined and languaged based on, close your eyes. Whom do you see clearly impacting that you really, your heart tells you really want impact? And what are the highest level impacts? And we define the brand we must become to make those impacts. And everything they say and do aligns from that point. It's crazy. And they had no clarity before. And now they not only have the clarity of the vision that they say, here's what I see for you and who am I targeting, but everything aligns with those impacts. It's crazy good. You would love it. Honest to God, for what you do, you would say like, OMG, this is really cool. So
yeah,
I get to do that for a living. And I'm in my 45th year of defining and languaging brands. And I feel like I'm 30, just getting started. I used to do it really big boy, you know, $14 billion company, leading the team, global branding teams, certified global branding consultant with partners in 21 countries. I quit that when I turned 50 because I thought I was going to die of a heart attack. And years later, people asked me to help them. And I said, yeah, I don't do branding anymore. And they went, yes, you do. Everybody around our table uses just, you're brilliant. And I want to pay you. I'm like, okay. And I started doing it for individuals. And what I realized was these same set of skills in all of these years have prepared me to do exactly this. I'm one of the luckiest people in the world because I am doing exactly what I'm made to do.
You know your purpose.
Boy, do I. And it's to help other people step into theirs faster, give them an abundant platform using branding. Mm-hmm. Make their business thrive so they have a platform to easily step into their purpose. So when I define their books and they go, I'm not writing any books. Take a guy who's a financial advisor and his first book, he's targeting people with lots of cash, like lots of cash.
Yeah.
Okay. The first book was From Broke to Six Figures, because he needs to be one of them. Steps to Success in Business and Life. So it's not about him. It's about, I made a lot of mistakes. Don't make these same mistakes. You know what? Learn how to not to talk to people. You know, learn that your wealth pie could be delivered to you later and a big old piece is going to be gone. I'm going to tell you these things up front. It has a little QR code so he can say like, this is what I didn't tell you in the chat, but I want to tell this to you right to your face. You know, that kind of stuff. A second book is doing life on your terms. It's about interrupting. So it's like, don't interrupt these seven things. And compound interest is one of them, but your integrity is one. You know, your health, your relationship, you know, all those things that we, you know, I just put this on the back burner while I, yeah. And then your life goes. And the third book, because he does prison ministry 6 nights a month, is Doing Business with a Servant's Heart.
Wow.
Semicolon. Subtitle, The Name Above All Names. He cried when I gave him that title. He said, I'm not writing any books. I'm like, Frank, a book is a stake in the ground to move a brand forward. The books will be written probably by you and you'll help and it's okay. And he wrote the first one with a ghost.
Why did you start doing books? I mean, I love books. I've always loved books.
Because what was behind me when I didn't have a background playing was the cover of my book, which isn't out yet, which is Impact-Driven Branding. It's like, look, here's the process. 7 steps to ensure your brand, you Mrs. Solopreneur, Mrs. I've done something for 30 years, but I want to take it to another level, or I want to leave a legacy brand, or I just thought up a new thing, or I comprise this method that's just me to ensure your brand impacts people's lives and the world. That's the name of it. Seven steps. It's not a book about branding. I don't do that. I'm one of the few people that literally teaches the process, but I don't just teach it. I coach it and counsel it and consult it and move people forward. And they, in one day workshop, they'll look down at these seven steps that they've gone through and they'll go, oh my God, my brand's on paper. Yeah. I'm aware of the power of books. I live in the virtual presentation space now, and probably will continue to, versus traveling all over the place, which was the old model. I did that in the agency. I traveled all over the place. I used it 4 to 5 hours a day in the cars like crazy, and then partners all over the world. I've been a contributor to 4 books writing chapters, and 2 of them have gone Amazon number one international bestsellers. So I pay my dues on that. And it's time for my book to come out, because I'm going to do a book a year. My purpose, and you could already smell it. You can see it in my emails. And I say, this will be a blessing to your business, and my little promo things, I think it's book number 4. It was book number 5. I think it's going to get pumped up, moved up, is Brands in God's Hands. One of my signature speeches to audiences that will admit that they're people of faith and are Christian is, when does branding become God's work? And fast forward to the end is that when you reach in your heart and pull out those things you're really compelled to impact other people, who do you think put them there? My opinion is it's God. Okay. So I consider we're doing God's work. You can call it whatever you want to. Okay. But that's when branding becomes God's work. When you write that down and go, like, I know I can help these. I know I can make the world a better place for this group, people that have been abused as children, for single women with special needs children with autism, for, people in jail, for people who just got started in business and don't know how to spell business, whatever it is, I know I can help them. And you reach into your heart and you write them down clearly. And the highest level impacts you can clearly see making through your work, your gift, your calling. It's a short line between that and a fully defined brand. Step 7, by the way, is the marketing execution elements checklist, which means those things are all better be in order before you start thinking about marketing, before the brand opens its mouth. Because when you open your mouth and you're not consistent and your language doesn't come alive because it transfers energy, you fall flat and you got to overcome that. And now you've screwed it up.
Yeah. So don't do something like have a brain burp of an idea and throw it out into the world of the internet saying, hey, I'm going to do 100 podcasts in 100 days. This sounds like such a great idea. Yeah. I'm exhausted.
I am so with you. Step 3 is a triangle. The triangle has characteristics on the bottom that the brand must become and get credit for. Mm-hmm. And on the top right side, it has competencies, or the things the brand gets known for that attracts people to the brand. And so I tell people, put that on the wall of your mind, the wall of your office, and it gives you, and you may use it, the power of next. And it goes like this. Somebody comes and goes, hey, I got a great idea. And you go, what? It's a marketing. Like Dumbo flies in, flaps his ears, and you think, and you look at your triangle and you go, that idea will give us credit for characteristic number 7, 8, and 11. That's pretty good. And for one of our comps, you know what? Not bad. Or you look at it and you go, next.
Yeah, because if it doesn't fit within what you're trying to do, then you're just going to waste your time.
And you're
going to
create confusion or misinformation, and it's going to work against you. But people don't think like that, because nobody ever taught them a language that there are 6 negative consequences, and you're going to get them, all of them. Well, unless you speak, consistent language, some of it unique, that transfers energy. And you and I were involved in so much the same work and the same energy.
Yes.
So why I did books was, I know there's stakes in the ground. I wanted to use books as well. I knew the first one of my own would be impact-driven branding, to place it as a, because the first book should be your expertise, and then you can build from there. A bridge, I do a bridge book for people to get them to a bigger thing than they get known for, and then to your purpose. So it's either 3 books or it's more. And for me, purpose is Brands in God's Hands. Let's hook these things together. My business and my faith should be right there. They shouldn't be 2 separate things. So that's it.
Wow.
And I'm a consummate networker and I'm one of these masterminds. And a lady goes, I have this database and, you know, and I said, you know what? I'm going to use your services as soon as my book comes. Oh, you have a book? Well, I haven't published it. Oh, you should talk to a friend of mine. She's in New York. She's been doing books for years. I'm like, I want to meet her. I get on the phone with her and she goes, you graduate people with really well-defined brands and you're going to do books. Hey, why don't we just joint venture? And I'm like, okay, how'd that work? She goes, well, let's go on GoDaddy and see if impact driven publishing is taken. And it wasn't. I bought it. We created I was in the publishing business. So I've never told anybody that story on public, on public wires, but honest to goodness, I mean, you know darn well that's what happens. And you don't sit there and think, oh, what a coincidence. You look up and you go, thank you.
Yes. You know, even when I started helping other people write their books, it was the same kind of idea. It was just a brain burp of an idea. And I texted a client, or not even a client. It was just somebody that I'd met on Twitter. We were talking back and forth and I just brain burp of an idea. And I texted it to him. And within 30 minutes, we had a deal and away we went. So you never know which idea is going to lead to something and which idea is going to kind of take you off a path that you were meant to be on. How do you know when you're on the wrong path? Because we now know how you know that you're on the right path. But have you ever been on the wrong path?
Personally or with a client or either or?
Well, let's go with personally. Have you ever been on the wrong path in your life? What I mean by when I say being on the wrong road or the wrong track is like you sound like you found your purpose and your purpose. But when we're living our lives not in purpose, and we're trying to do what we should do, or because somebody told us to do it, and we're not really getting anywhere because we're on the wrong path. There's some things that we can see, you know, people feel overwhelmed, they're unhappy. Have you ever been on that kind of path?
No, thank goodness.
Oh, you were lucky, man.
Yeah, I will attribute it to good parents who are extremely uplifting and supportive. I get more than my share of natural talent, or maybe I didn't. They just allowed it to come out of my, oh, I'm really into that. Oh, how can we help you? You know, I'm into theater. Oh, good. Let's go to rehearsal. You know, I'm playing the orchestra. Oh, great. Play tennis. Great. You're 13. You want to make money? Why don't you paint my house? Okay. Turned it into a business. Hired friends of mine at 14. You know, I'm contracting painting. It's not like everything I touched turned to gold, but I had more than my share of uplifting success. And a lot of it, if you look right behind me, it was my mom and my dad driving me places and buying me ladders and telling me to get to the paint store and ask them all the questions. Not like, well, good luck. You know, you're never going to amount to anything, you scumbag. There are people that grow up with their parents telling them that they're no good. It's like, I was the opposite. And, you know, maybe that's not Disneyland, but we went to church together every Sunday and there is a God and he lived in my house. I was raised where God lived. My wife, whom bless her heart, has had the strength to be married to me for 45 years and 50 Valentine's days, by the way. God lives in our house and it makes a difference. It makes a difference if there's no connectedness to spirit in a relationship, if there's no higher power, it makes a huge difference. And people find it easier to go off on tracks because it hasn't been made as clear. There is right and there is wrong and there is an enemy. We're vulnerable. The sooner we realize that and live our lives based on that, the clearer things get. Mm-hmm. And the sooner we get to purpose, because otherwise we kind of avoid it. We kind of like run directions and try this and try that sometimes.
Knowing your purpose and having that direction and having that vision and knowing, I guess this is your North Star, makes life a lot easier. Now you must hear a lot of different stories of made a lot of bad choices, found something to the answer, or found themselves or their purpose or whatever it was and turn their life around and now have a message to tell the world. But how do you help them get that message out into the world? Because I can write a book, but that doesn't mean anyone's going to read it. So how can we get people to get that following so people are going to be inspired to read the books?
Well, I'm thrilled you asked me that question because I can wrap the answer around a golden nugget. The answer is with marketing, that's not a self-revealing answer. So here's the golden nugget inside that. And this is being said to you by a man who has been doing, I would say, all areas of marketing his entire career. And I use one word to describe marketing. It's execution. Yeah. And at its best, and I don't mean that it's less than good. I mean, at its best, marketing is the strategic execution of an excellent brand strategy. So the moment you know exactly what you stand for, who you are, the vision you see for those whom you target and whom you do target, and you prioritize it, and you get that all lined up, then you start marketing, you're going to make way better choices. When I do a brand accelerator group with a group of people that say, look, I'm going to do this work. You have a 7-day thing over 8 weeks, and all of this work from definition and target audiences and their careabouts and characteristics that I must become and the ways that the brand must behave, and, you know, in writing really clearly what guides the language and everything. And then my areas, my categories of expertise in special language. So I make my own category, you know, all of that stuff and titles and subtitles of content that'll take me out 3 to 4 years. All of that's done in 8 weeks. Yes, I'm in, and they're in. And in day 6 of 7, I hand out this thing called the marketing execution elements list. But the point is, I want you to circle the top 10 that your brand must have in order to launch, in order to part the curtain and say to your target audiences, this brand exists. Do you need a look? Do you need language? Are you a content? You know, what is? And you pick 10 or 15, I don't care how many you pick, circle the margin, and then put in numbers in priority order. Like, what's first? Because you're going to ask me when this thing is over, you go, wow, I got our brand's defined. This is amazing. Like, what do I do now? And this is going to help you answer the question, first things first. And so sometimes those are obvious. A brand needs a logo if it has no way to see, or it has one and it's not a good one. It's incongruent with what the brand stands for. So, or they have a website. I just finished 3 of these. Came to me with a website. I already have a website. Okay.
Let's audit that website, shall we?
Well, I'm an NLP trained, so I'm like, how's that working for you? Really? Okay. And it's kind of unclear. Okay. Sometimes they're obvious, but other times they're not necessarily obvious. For example, the writing of testimonials,
yes,
in the language of the brand that we've just created, those characteristics that sometimes you can give yourself credit, and you should, you know, if you care or you really understand. I have a client who created the center of calmness.
Okay.
He had to overcome chronic anxiety as a child, and he was going up the ladder in corporations, and his anxiety was kicking in. And he literally studied the steps of how anxiety fires, and he created a method that he could use himself to get to overcome and eliminate the anxiety. That's crazy, because there's 40 million people in the United States who are on drugs because they have anxiety diagnoses.
Yeah, I just kept quitting my job because I didn't understand it was anxiety. I thought it was just my gut telling me it's time to get out of here.
I will introduce you to Derek. He is.
I cannot tell you how many times I did that.
When, he's in Houston. Where are you?
Vancouver.
Oh, that's right. I knew that. I read that. Oh, yeah, Vancouver. What a lovely city. Oh, I love Vancouver. My wife and I went up together, not during the most recent, but the you know, 2 radio strikes ago in LA, where, you know, the performers go on strike, and we were scheduled to radio spots, and we're like, shit, we're gonna have to go out of the country. What's closest? Vancouver.
Vancouver.
So we ended up in Vancouver in a radio station, getting the spot, and just fell in love with it.
It is a beautiful, beautiful place. It's expensive. It, you know, BC does not stand for British Columbia. It stands for bring cash.
Bring cash. Good for you. Yeah. And so, well, you know,
that's not mine. That is something that a lot of people say. It's like PC Bud. Okay. It's been around a long time. Well,
I jumped to Derek. We were talking about.
Yeah. Cause I had said, like, I just quit my job. I didn't try to figure out. I didn't even know what was anxiety.
Testimonials. So sometimes we can give ourselves credit. And if we create a logo, in his case, we created a logo that creates calm. We prioritize those characteristics, and we say, hey, when you're making a first impression, what are the top 3 that you always have to get credit for on first impression. They're on the homepage above the fold. They're on any kind of marketing materials. They're on the website. They're everywhere. And one of his is creating calm. So if I look at his logo and I get anxious, like the wrong thing, right? That was obvious. But what wasn't obvious was writing testimonials in advance with the brand language in them. It's like if the perfect testimonial that gave you credit for driving your one of his categories of expertise, which would end the sentence, the man speaking this evening is an expert at driving your success when stress is driving you. Okay.
So you're actually finding people who will sign off on testimonials that...
No. He gets clients. No, it's not contrived. We just write them in advance and let people step into them. So I had a client who wrote a book and we sent out 18 testimonials, endorsements really for the book, not testimonials. Like I worked with Judy for years, but testimonials of this book is really important. You know, I've read it. It will change your life. Endorsements. We wrote 18 of them, sent it out to 25 people and said, hey, we'd love you to read the book. And if any of these endorsements resonate with you, just tell us which one, we'll put your name and tell us how to title you or write your own. And many of them would write their own and go, you can change this however you like. And you know what? I kind of like number 7. You know the drill. It's like, and we did this at the agency, you know, I had a client who sold printing presses from Japan and they had, you know, 250 clients in the United States to buy these little printing presses. And he said, I want to get the voice of our customers to tell us what it's like working with us. Can you help me? And he has a real strong Japanese accent. I'm like, of course we can. He says, you get me the list and I'll write a letter that you send to them. And it'll say like, you're going to get a call. You're going to get an email and then a call from this gentleman who's the executive vice president at our agency. And he wants to hear you tell him about what it's like doing business with us, you know, and goods and the bads. Don't leave anything out. It's okay. Just be candid and, you know, it's okay. And this guy's, you know, top level, he's high, you know, and I would do it. I'd send him and they would talk. And I would take notes. And then I would say, am I hearing you say this? Of course, I know the language of the brand because we created it. Am I hearing you say that? Yeah. Okay. And then I get, okay, you know, tell you what, let me read this back, make sure it's okay. Is that, am I getting it? Well, yeah. Tell you what, I'm going to send you an email. It was kind of like, here's what I heard you say. And sometimes it might not be your exact words, but you know, if I mess it up, just tell me, but, and just send it back and say, yeah. Or, you know, I would rather use this word. That be okay? Yeah.
Done. But yeah, because you are working with them to craft what they want to say. It's not like you are making it up and then having them just sign off on it. It's something that they've identified with. They weren't sure what to say. Because a lot of times when we ask people for testimonials or reviews or something like that, they don't do it because they just don't know what to say. They don't know how to word it. From what you were just described, it was just guiding them through the process.
And they feel on the spot, if particularly if they're on camera, they feel on the spot.
Yeah.
And people aren't natural, you know, the natural public speaking freaks people out. And what do I say is just a really common, you know, they want to say what will help you. So it's natural. So I use the language, not like writing them for them. Mm-hmm. It's pre-writing testimonials that we expect is what it'll sound like when a client is giving the brand credit for what the brand is really good at. Mm-hmm. And we know we already have that characteristic or we're going to develop it and get credit for it. And here's the way that it will be great if they said that.
How I do is I send out questions. Basically, I'm looking for reviews more than, so they got to be very authentic on the review sites.
Book reviews.
No, just reviews for customers. I mean, okay. I do more than helping people write and publish their book is one of the many things that I do. Mm. So one of the other things that I do, because I worked for an online review agency for a few years, and we had flags in place. And if those flags got flagged, like if a red flag got up, boom, there went the review.
Get my head in the right, like Yelp kind of, okay.
Yeah.
Like, so review this product, review this service, review whatever.
Okay. Yeah, anything. Okay. Like anything. You review the company, review whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. So because I know that, you know, it has to sound authentic, has to be authentic, cannot be word for word anything else, because the review site will flag it. But I do make sure that I want them to say the story that I want them to say. So what do? I ask 3 questions, a beginning, a middle, and an end. And sometimes it's, What problem did you have before you called me? What did I do to solve your problem? How did you feel about that? Or what was the result? It makes it a little easier for them because they know what questions to ask. They know what to say. And if I've used language within my marketing, within not me specifically, but if my client has used language in their marketing and in dealing with them, they're going to have that same language as the answer because it's going to have been subliminally put in there in order to put it out. Because like hopefully the client at some point has said, this is what I do. Here is the solution that I'm going to give you.
Mm-hmm. So what was your third question? How does that feel?
Or how did you feel about it? Or what was the result? Or
Yeah. Goody good. Okay.
Just
you know, great questions. Good for you. Yeah.
I had 300 accounts in BC.
Ooh.
They were all contractors, like roofers, plumbers, electricians.
Got it.
And, you know, you have a very diverse or varied level of technology competency mm-hmm. in that industry. Mm-hmm. And some people I would call, some clients I would talk to, they were right on it. They understood technology. They got the thing. Other people, yeah, I'm still using a flip phone. What do you want me to do? So, you know, it was a matter of trying to figure out the different ways to make it easy for these customers, for our clients to ask for reviews because they wanted to get the reviews and they weren't getting them because their clients were like, well, I'll get to it.
Yeah.
So I came up with a process. And one of those parts of the process was to send out an email with three questions.
Nice.
And of course, a link to the website I work for.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah, and the common denominator was email because the flip phone. Yeah, very nice. Oh, I like that. Hey, by the way, I don't want this to go unsaid. I really want to know all the things that you do because you probably do a ton of things that I do not, and we should really know what each other does. I'm seriously, because we're kindred spirits in yes. style and verbal execution and bursts of energy. I've listened to several podcasts. I listened to it when I first got the thing and I listened to a couple of them. I love your pacing. I love your, you know, how you use space. You're a master of delivery. And it's impossible to fall asleep and it's impossible to get bored. Way to go.
Thank you.
You're in the top 1% of the 1,000 of people in the world. Awesome.
Well, I hope I get discovered at some point then because I'm really getting tired of where I am in life.
I just discovered you. What do you mean? You hope you get discovered.
That's great. Please.
I talked to a guy who had 45 years of experience and he thinks I'm great. Hey. He's been around.
I just got to keep doing this. And then I'll be
I know a thing or two.
I promise, landlord.
Just give me one more month. Okay.
No, funny. I do actually a lot of different things because when I started Market Appeal, I thought, okay, I have a lot of experience in sales, marketing, all sorts of things. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do marketing for 5 different companies, one a day. One will work on Monday, one will work on Tuesday, one will work on Wednesday, one will work on Thursday. I thought that was a brilliant idea. It just didn't work because I couldn't find one company, let alone 5. And my company has just morphed over the years. And as I've done things that people have come to me and said, hey, can you do this? I'm like, yeah, of course I can do that. Hey, can you do this? Yeah, I can do this. I can do that.
My publicity coach, Jill Lublin, says, use whatever you've got.
Yep.
They say, well, we really need somebody that knows a lot about eggplant. Oh, my client was in Italy 2 summers. He knows eggplant. But he is an organic garden. You need to talk to him about eggplant. The branding guy? Yes. Use whatever you've got.
Whatever you need him to be. Yeah, that's pretty much me. Definitely me. So everything from website. I'm not a coder. I make it look pretty.
Okay. You or your team?
Nope, me. It's me, myself, and I. I'm my own person.
Graphic skills.
Yeah. So I create.
Okay.
Design the website, write the copy, figure out which pictures we're going to use. Okay. Do we need to do some Photoshop? Do we need to publish a digital magazine, which once again, it's me, myself, and I.
Can you put me on your list, please?
Sure.
Yeah, please do.
And it's everything from concept to publishing, but that doesn't mean I want to do a lot of different stuff.
Thank you. You just saved me a crap load of time. What do you want to do?
I know, because I knew that question was coming, because I get that question a lot. So what is it that you want to do? Because you do a lot and you're good at a lot of things. Because yes,
I recognize the picture. I recognize the picture. It took me till age 53 to read the book called Your Life, Your Legacy, with a test from the I Ching that go, oh, so I'm really somebody that lifts up a brand and what it stands for, but I'm not the person that necessarily cuts the deals or is the engineer. These are other people, and I'm not supposed to do everything. I thought I was supposed to do everything.
Yeah.
I've done my whole life been doing everything.
Well, I don't really want to do everything. There's a lot of things that I don't want to do, but I need people.
Yeah.
And things like sales. You know, I have sold. Don't get me wrong. I have done sales.
Yeah, yeah.
I've sold pipe. I've sold pump jacks. I've sold cars. I've sold stocks, bonds, childcare, automotive services. I've sold it all.
That was quite an array right there.
Yeah. I haven't even touched on it because I was in directory advertising, creative advertising.
I thought, honest to God, I thought you were setting me up to go. And the last thing I saw was pipe. And one day I just said, pipe down, Shannon. I set you up for that. Okay. Okay.
Well, there is so much. Well, I think because I have such a varied career and yeah. I have so many things that I've done that I just am able to connect with people in a lot of different industries and at a lot of different places in their lives. I enjoy putting these platforms together where people can come and tell their brand stories to the marketplace, try to get more credibility as well as promotion for themselves and their brand. Promoting other brands in the marketplace, I really enjoy doing. And that's where the digital magazine comes in. That's where the blog comes in, this podcast, the video component of this podcast, as well as my social media life, I don't enjoy.
Well, read Dan Kennedy's book with Kim Walsh Phillips. Dan is such a curmudgeon, and he is the official curmudgeon of direct marketing. And he says, social media is a scourge on humanity, but you have to do it. So since you have to do it, do not do it for likes. Do it for dollars, damn it. This is Dan Kennedy. You know, and you got to love the guy.
I love that, though. Don't do it for likes. Do it for dollars.
You know, it's the no BS book of direct marketing. It's on the counter. It's not in my office here, but it's Dan Kennedy and Kim Walsh Phillips. Of course, she is like in her 40s or maybe 50, but she looks like she's 40. Just a pistol. And her agency was making money doing social media for its clients. And Dan found her and he hired her to work with his clients. And he goes, I would only work with her. And when Dan Kennedy says that, you got to pay attention. And then they wrote this book together and I read it. And I'm like, I love you, Kim Walsh Phillips. She's also a coach of mine. You got to love that. I mean, where does social media fit? Well, you know, it is what it is. But if you can arrange the way you spend the time or somebody spends it for you.
People pay me to be their social media person.
Oh, do they really?
Because I'm good at it. But that doesn't mean I like it.
It was for others, not for yourself, right?
Oh, I do it for myself too. I do it for myself and I do it for other people and people pay me to do it. But that doesn't mean I enjoy it because I've done it. I'm done with it. I'm over it. Time to move on to something else.
Let me ask you a question. May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When you close your eyes and picture you, who are, let's think of you as an umbrella and all of these things, all these pieces of your career, all these executional things that you do, skills that you have, perspectives you have, careers, each of those is a spoke making up your umbrella. When that umbrella takes on an identity and steps into its purpose, what is it doing? Is it speaking? Is it coaching? Is it holding the hands of little children? What is it doing?
No more kids. No more kids.
What is it doing? Do you know? Do you have
I do enjoy speaking. I have no fear of getting up in front of 5,000 people. If you told me today, Shannon, we have our speaker didn't show up. Can you just go up there and talk? I'd be like, yeah, sure. Got it.
I get that because I'm like that too.
But however, me to walk into a room with 10 people and figure out which one wants to talk to me, I'm petrified.
Oh, I can help you with that. Really? Because I was trained by a guy whose name I forget. He wore a white suit. He was Jewish. And I met him at a place and he was speaking on networking. I'll think of his name. I have tapes. He gave me these tapes. I want you to take these. And I want to talk to you about taking over for me because I'm getting old. I think you're perfect. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what have I done? Yeah. Anyway, this guy, he was amazing. And he had these tapes, like what to do when you walk into a room and how to get away from a person who's sucking away your time. You know, these are the old school, right? It was like marvelous stuff. I practiced it at the Chamber of Commerce.
Well, it's funny
I'm an ambassador.
I get to stand
at the door. And when I see somebody I don't know, I just go and they go, hey, I don't think I've met you. What's your name? What do you do? And they hand me a card, you know, I'm like, oh, and I try to get real clear on what, so you're an executive with the bank, which means, are you on the loan side? Are you on the real estate? Oh yeah. And so if you could connect with some people that make sense, it would be developers and Hey, you see Bob over there? I want you to meet Bob. Come on. I love to do that.
I have no problem once I'm in the room.
If it's about other people, I'm good. If it's about me, it's a different story.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny because I have no reason to be scared of it because when I once I start talking to people, it's great. After a little while, I'm actually holding court after the networking meetings. Come to me and talk to me.
I think you're telling an old story. I think I'm going to release you. I want you to release the thought that you ever have to say, you're scared to walk in a room again. You never have to say that again. You just don't. You don't have to say that ever more, ever.
It's been wonderful. And this whole thing about doing 100 podcasts in 100 days, I'm really enjoying the process. Yes, I'm exhausted and tired. But I really do enjoy it. And I do find that after, you know, when I go to edit the podcast to get rid of all those ums, ahs, and sentences that don't go anywhere, I learn so much more from my guest than I thought I had during the conversation.
I'm just going to listen to all the things you do. And then I'm going to show you what it looks like when I'm done. And it's a document that you could sign an NDA, get a copy of it, and literally execute some of those marketing things that you love to do and want to do with an extremely well-defined and language brand that really knows who they are and where they're going. And it's already language.
Wow. I'm impressed. Paint me impressed.
I guide them. I ran an agency. I write a creative brief for every project, including a website. Honest to goodness. So I will show you a brief that says, here's what the website looks like today. Here's how the nav bar will change. Here's the departments. And here's how they'll be in the new version when the desired brand is on the website. And then we start crafting copy. And the approved copy goes on the brief and it gets given to the designer who created the look and palette, and they do the layouts with approved copy. No concept layouts. It's an agency guy who knows how to keep
Where's the wireframe?
There's no wireframe.
Where's the images? Where's the graphics?
I don't worry about that stuff.
Where all the links going to go? What's the SEO plan?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. I'm counting on you. You know what I mean? I know it. I will teach there needs to be one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make it. I don't do that. Okay. I'm good at what I do.
I'm good at it and I'm good at it and I've done it for myself. And people go, oh, I want that too. Building an empire here, dear. Building an empire.
Good for you. Well, you deserve an empire. You're a big thinker and you've got it right. I mean, when I listen to your secrets podcast from February 26th.
That was my favorite one.
It became clear to me you have your head screwed on very, very right.
Yeah, that was a fun one to do because I just love the whole I got a secret. It's all about curating curiosity.
It is. And
making sure that you don't, your brand isn't a secret, that you are telling the story, you're getting it out there, and people know who you are and what you want to be known for.
See, I'm so much more fun saying that. My ways to say that is a lot drier, but it's consistent and it does transfer energy. I show people all the things I've heard over my 45 years of what people say they would rather it be better. You know, like my top 10 sound like we need better ways to say what we do. Mm-hmm. We need more qualified traffic on our website. Well, we don't know how to position ourselves to get paid what we're worth. Yeah, that kind of stuff, right? And it's so common. Well, I have a list of 25 that's in my workbook for the one day workshop, but I give 10 when I do my half day and I say, here's the top 10. I've heard them over and over and over, you know, $14 billion company. We don't get credit for what makes us outstanding. Do you know that we have 389 verifiable experts in our industry and we're not getting credit? And I have to tell a CEO, you're not getting credit because you're not taking credit. PR program, let's go. These are engineers and bean counters. And
It's all the pieces that come together to build that brand funnel.
They're trained to think branding is something they don't understand and they need a guru and it's, you know, some special language and hoo-ha. And really, to make a brand come alive, you got to have congruence with your heart. You got to have consistency. You got to have language that transfers energy. Some of it is unique and you have to have recognizability. Those four things, you don't have those in ways that people go, oh, now there's something. Wow, what's in there? I think I want that. Wow, that's different. They don't do that. Your brand's falling flat. And you and I know most brands fall flat. And so how do you prevent that? Oh, your essence, bullshit. The bullshit meter should go off. Mm-hmm. If they had a method and everybody that I work with, they go, I don't even know. I don't believe I'm doing this, but you know, this is great. And then they come back when they're still a client 3 or 4 years later, and they're reminding me about the rules. Mm-hmm. Well, remember the incursion zone on the logo? It's like, that's my term. Yeah. Okay.
There's a lot more to branding that you do than I do, because I mean, you've got all of that experience with how to language things and work things and understand things. If I was to go find out more about you, where would I go? You are writing a book or publishing a book so that we have it prepped for, we always have it prepped for prosperity and it won't be lost.
And to hand it, because people don't know. I'm after impact-driven people. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you said to me, I got this great idea, it's going to make so much money. And I say, can you help me, Brandon? Yeah, I sure can. So let's fast forward. So you make all the money. Let's say 10 million. Yeah, it's great. Right? Then what? What do you mean then what? Meet 10 million. Not my client.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, it's got to meet that test. You know, they got to be, you know, I've got to be pointing up saying thank you. Because my prayer is put the people in front of me whose lives or businesses you want me to touch with this gift, because it is a gift. It is not my skill. I'm over it. It's my gift. And give me the eyes and ears and the wisdom to know who they are. So when somebody finds me, I say, thank you. And then I listen to a term, are they one? It's not for me to decide. It's not for me to decide who comes and it's not for me to decide who goes. It's for me to decide how I give them the gift and help them step into their purpose so that they can create more praise gods in the world. Most of the people, because of the language I use, are people of faith, but it's not a prerequisite. They just happen to be, you know, impact driven and they're connected to spirit. Some people call it universe.
But yeah, it is all about creating impact. And yes, we do create impact by providing knowledge through book, because we can only get so much information online.
Fast forward and the mix was right. Would helping people write and publish books be a half of what you do or 80% of what you do? Or how am I hearing that? That's kind of where you want to go, or that's what you're having most fun with now? Or
like, yeah. I said, I do it from beginning to end. It's I come up with concept. I write, I do the layout, I do the cover, I do the editing, I do the publishing, and then we market it.
Wow.
So it has to be a special project. I don't want to do that for just anyone. I have to work closely with someone because I'm interviewing them. I'm talking to them. I'm recording them. Right. I'm writing in their voice. We're going back. We're editing. We're working really closely together. So it has to be someone that I actually admire and want to learn from, because otherwise I'm wasting my time. I don't want to waste time.
So selectively, if it happens to become 50%, great. It's not the strategic plan or anything. It's just
no. What I'm building right now is the platforms to tell their brand story for other people to come and learn how to create an appealing life, career, or business through the stories other people share, and providing a platform where they can connect through community in a safe environment where I'm not collecting all their data, because really I don't care less. Having a brand for myself where I can go speak, I have a book, I've got the magazine, I've got the podcast, all of this stuff works together.
Right.
To help my brand, but also to help other people speak on their brands and awesome. Help them define their stories.
You are such a perfect candidate. I mean, everyone is, but they have to have the right heart. You're such a perfect candidate, since what you do helps others. for shaping an umbrella brand for you moving forward, where everything you've done and everything you still do fits? Oh, of course she does that. Of course she's planning on doing that. But it goes to a higher level and has some really solid big picture stand fors. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about, what I'm doing now. So when a brand gets defined and it's time to create a website or create a logo or, you know, supplant their desired brand, which we've defined and languaged and probably visualized, onto the existing website and or rebuild a new one or have it take its place and the new brand appears, or get them placement for content because they're experts or whatever it is that I vet and practice using and then use more and more. Individuals who are really good at what they do usually are independent and don't work for a big agency because there's a big overhead, but know what brings them joy. Mm-hmm. With some people, that's building websites. With some people, that's content strategists, you know, who think at 40,000 feet when they choose their words. So they love this sign an NDA and get a copy of completely languaged brands and look at it and go like, I love this. And then they know they're in the lanes, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't have to spend so much time in discovery. They can spend time in execution and know they're on track.
Yeah. Before we go, do you have a website that people can find you at?
The immediate place to go to get 8 free videos, 18 minutes total, answering with direct language, no funny talk, no jargon, common questions about branding that everybody asks. And it is I'm straight shot answers. And you know that guy knows what he's talking about. And he's not bullshit. He's not using the airy fairy entrancing stuff like your essence. None of that stuff. It's just straight talk. What makes a good brand? What are the 4 things that make a brand come on? It's like, you never heard this language before, but you're going to hear it. And people go, wow. TheBrandYouWillBecome.com.
I'm encouraging everyone to run over there right now and learn more about branding, because that's what this is all about. If you don't know your brand and you don't know who yourself and you don't know what message you want to be telling, all that other stuff that you're doing on social media is just a waste of time.
Actually, it's probably doing you more harm than good, because it's creating either misinformation or confusion, and that will never serve you. And other people are getting ahead and you're wasting money and time. It's like, no. So the other thing, and I'll speak directly to impact-driven branding, the 7 steps to ensure your brand. If you're impact-driven, you want to make an impact on other people and the world, 7 steps. I offer a thing called the Your Impact-Driven Branding Blueprint. And I offer it for free. Somebody sends me an email and says blueprint, or texts my number and says blueprint and tells me who they are and a way to get it to them, I will send them a document that says, these are the 7 steps. And there's one page as if I'm talking to them about each step. That's a pretty handy piece. And it helps to make it real that, hey, it's a process. And you know, you could do it by yourself. You could get help. You could do it with others, but it's a process. Don't leave the steps out. Just do it. And you will race to impact, and you'll race to the money. You'll get to the impact and the money faster, because everything your brand says and does with the impacts that you wrote down, you can clearly see making on certain types of people when your brand thrives and your brand got defined and languaged to be exactly what it must be to make those impacts. It is a blessing to your business and to your life. And you'll find it builds a platform for your business. Branding does that, that enables you to more easily step from that platform into your purpose, because we're all here for a purpose, and best we get on with it. My name is Rich Kozak, and I am the CEO and founder of Rich Brands and Impact Driven Publishing. And that might be a blessing to your business.
What a way to end this. Thank you so much, Rich. That was just amazing. Thank you.
Listener, I hope you'd enjoy today's podcast and learn something new. I'd love to know what you learned. Please log into marketappeal.com and run over to the community. Just hit that community button and let me know what you learned today. If you know anyone who would learn something or needs to learn what Rich and I were talking about, please share this podcast with them. And if you share it on your social media, please make sure that you tag me so that I can engage with you. Looking forward to getting to know you better. Peel out.